Welcome to Look Up with Pastor Mike and his wife Linda Sasso of Calvary Chapel of Eagle, a radio ministry designed to assist you in applying God's Word to your everyday life. For the next half hour, Pastor Mike and Linda will encourage you with your walk with Christ and help you look up to Jesus. If you need advice on marriage, life challenges, or relationships, call in now. It's time to look up to Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. Here's Mike and Linda.
Well, hey, folks, this is Pastor Mike, and it's Mike and Linda and Corey.
Hello.
And Annalise. We've got a full team in here today, and we're going to do a little something different, so hold your calls. You know, Linda will give you the number if you'd like to call in a little later, but first I want to introduce you to some friends of ours. We do have Corey and Annalise from MAF, and that is Mission Aviation Fellowship. And they're new friends of ours. We just recently met them, got to know them, went out to lunch. And I think it's just something that we want to expose our listeners to from time to time so that you're aware of the mission opportunities, the mission work that's going on in the world around us, and maybe expose you to some missionaries that if you're looking for someone to support, either by way of prayer or financial support, Corey and Annalise are certainly two candidates that you might want to consider. And so we're going to get to know them a little bit today in our short time together, but I'm going to let Linda tell you a little bit about how you could call. But don't call in yet, because we're going to introduce you to our friends first.
You know what? I'm not going to give you the number to call in. I'm going to give you the number to text in right now. If you have a question, you can go ahead and send a text message to Calvary Chapel Eagle's phone. That is 208-891-2635. The reason we're not taking calls right at this moment is we want to give a chance for Corey and Annalise to explain to you everything without being interrupted. And if we finish that, then we'll open up the lines for questions. But do you remember when you were going to accept the Lord and you said, well, yeah, I want to serve God with my life, but I don't want to have to go to Africa and witness to the pygmies? Well, you know what? Most people don't, but we have some people here.
I don't think there's pygmies in Africa, though.
Today.
Are there?
Yeah, there are.
How about that?
Yes, there are!
Somebody
okay.
must have told me they were
yes,
in Borneo and not Africa.
Okay. Okay. These people want to go to Africa, and they have been working on it for a long time. So we are going to hear their story today.
All right. So first of all, they're going to help us understand a little bit about Mission Aviation Fellowship, which many times you'll see the initials MAF, and you'll think, gee, what's that? Recently, it's been a few years now, that Mission Aviation Fellowship has put in a station in Napa. Are you guys actually visiting in Napa, training in Napa, or is it in Boise you're training?
That's correct. We're in Nampa at the Nampa Airport.
Okay, great. Well, tell us a little bit about Mission Aviation Fellowship, because I've known of them for a long time, but I'm not really sure how they got started and what their original mission was and if it evolved as time went on. So do you know about how it got started?
A little bit. That's a great question too, Mike. So Mission Aviation Fellowship was started in 1945 by some World War II pilots who saw the need all over the world and wanted to use the airplane as a tool for the gospel. Mm. So they started, branched to Mexico, went all the way south, and you may have heard the story of the Saints and the Elliots in Ecuador. And that was an MAF plane that helped reach the Guarani Indians there.
Uh-huh.
So that was the one that really put missions on the map. And MAF today serves in several countries. We have several aircraft, and we are honored to get to serve the people of the Democratic Republic of Congo. And MAF, Mission Aviation Fellowship, has been in Congo faithfully serving for over 50 years.
Wow.
And they were there right at the turn when Zaire became a country. So it's
wow.
really exciting to see how faithful God has been.
Hey, all over before we get too far, I want you to tell the people out there, Facebook Live, those of you on the radio, we're going to give you a website you can go to that you can get information on this wonderful couple that want to go do what maybe you don't want to, but you want to support them either financially or with prayer, you can find out everything they're doing. You can get their newsletter. You can actually pledge a support monthly or just a one-time gift right there. You can see newsletters, old ones, sign up for new ones. So we want you to write this down. So get your pen out, get something out, write this down. What is that website they're going to go to?
Yes, it's maf.org/woodsum, and that's spelled W-O-O-D-S-U-M.
So if you haven't guessed, their last name is Woodsum.
That's right.
And if you get lost in there somewhere, if you go to the MAF page, go to their missionaries, you will find them there. Okay.
So Annalise, I know we're going to hear from Corey in a little bit because he's one of the pilots trained. But I want to know, how did you guys even find out about MAF and get, you know, hooked up with MAF? Was it something that you've always wanted to do, or was one of those divine appointments the Lord set up for you?
I think for me personally, it was through the story of Elizabeth Elliot is how I first heard about MAF, and she was such a godly woman, inspiring woman. And then I went to Biola University, and one of my classmates was a missionary kid who grew up in Indonesia, and I really enjoyed my friendship with her. And her dad still works here in Nampa at the headquarters, so I've had a lot of positive interactions with them, and I think that God has put in me a heart for evangelism and for missions since I was even in elementary school. So missions was, for me personally, it was on the forefront of my mind my whole life.
Nice, nice. So you're not a pilot, but you've had a hunger for mission work and evangelism for a long time. How long have you been a Christian now, Annalise?
28 years.
Wow. Okay. See, you knew the number. That's good. That's good. So, Corey, I think we need to hear a little bit from you. So how in the world, just tell us, first of all, I mean, you've been a pilot before you were a Christian, or how'd that all work out? Were you became a pilot because you wanted to be involved in this, or what came first?
So it kind of happened a little bit simultaneously, but when I was a youth group, so this happened around junior high school. My youth pastor taught us that it didn't matter what your age was, that you could start serving God right now. And so I got involved in ministry, and I absolutely loved it. At the same time, I was learning to fly, and I thought I would have to choose between God and God and flying. Uh-huh. And not long after that, we discovered MAF. And at that moment, I was like, that's what I want to do.
So when you say we, you and Annalise, what, were you married? You started in junior high.
Junior high.
You also said that's when you were being trained for to fly, and I knew that wasn't happening during junior high, right? You know, how old were you when you started to learn how to fly?
I was still in high school. I would wash airplanes. Wow. Yeah, and earn money to take flight lessons. Yeah.
See how the Lord just ties it all in together like that? That's pretty cool. Yeah. And so, how old were you when you met Annalise?
That was late 20s.
All right, so the Lord gave you some time to learn how to fly before you got all wrapped up in Annalise, right?
Yeah, yeah. Okay. We were friends for like 6 years before we got married.
Ah, good. That's the way it should
never
be,
dated.
Huh? Yeah. And then you're supposed to stay friends after that, right?
That's right. We started dating after we got married.
Yeah. So, Corey, tell us, what are you going to be doing in the Congo? What is going to be your job? And then, Annalise, I want to hear yours, too.
Okay.
So this is a dream job for me, something, like I said, I want to do for a very long time. And my role in Congo will be a support to the missions. So I'll be flying like local missionaries and local pastors and transporting Bibles and supplies. Also support to the missionaries that are already there. So they'll be doing like groceries and supplies that they need to stay out in that area. And so it'll be a lot of that kind of work, as well as doctors and vaccines.
Right. There's so much more than people realize. I know I just got an email today from MAF talking about sending pastors into different areas of Africa. And here, you know, you're talking about groceries. There's all kinds of transport besides just bringing missionaries in
and
there.
I have a good story for that, too. While I was in South Sudan, I was working as a ramp coordinator with MAF. And so I was constantly involved in the packages and the boxes going onto the aircraft. And a lot of times you look at these things and be like, what is this? I don't even know what this is. I can't identify it. It's weird stuff. And you're putting it on the plane. And then a few months later, MedAir, one of the non-government organizations, sent us a bunch of pictures of this well that they put in, that this giant bladder that filled with water, and that we helped supply water to mm-hmm. this refugee camp. But at the time, you kind of look at this stuff as like, right. this looks pointless.
Right.
But once you put all the pieces together, we helped supply all those people with water.
Nice. Wonderful.
And yeah, it was really cool.
There are things that MAF does as a ministry that an ordinary church ministry or any other ministry could even dream of, because it takes professionals. It takes, mm-hmm. you know, mechanics. It takes people who are trained in flying, the pilots. And there's all yeah. this stuff that, you know, the average church just can't throw together a mission like this. And so MAF yeah. could do things and that others can't. It just dawned on me. I know that every time there's a tragedy, whether an earthquake or tsunami. Yeah, that's an anonymous tsunami. You know, there's times where there's things that happen around the world, and then I'll read in the news or I'll see it in an MAF yeah. newsletter that MAF got involved right away, bringing supplies or yeah. medical relief to those
yeah.
places.
Yeah, and a lot of the reason for that is they don't, and when a time of peace, they don't just pull out and leave. Where a lot of other NGOs and stuff, well, they'll go and leave, and you know, there's no reason for them to be there. But MAF cares about relationship, because the airplane is just a tool. So they will stay in country and continue working, can continue supporting the people there. And so when there is a disaster, they have a lot of resources and already on site that nice. They can site. And especially like in Haiti, a lot of stuff that comes through Haiti for those disaster stuff is organized by MAF.
Wow. Yeah, I remember seeing some of that in the news. Now, it brings up another question. Now, you're going specifically to the Congo.
Yes.
Now, is your sight set for the Congo and it's long-term and you want to be permanent there, or it's just until they relocate you somewhere else?
No, this is where we would like to stay long-term. With MAF doing missionary pilot work long-term, right now Congo is the long-term base. It's possible if MAF needs to move us to another location, but right now Congo needs pilots and they are a bit short-staffed, so... yeah, we want to do this for as long as God will have us do this. This is not a short-term thing. This is not like 4 years. This is like retirement and beyond.
Awesome. Awesome. Which, by the way, I want to remind you listeners out there that if you, you know, I know there's a certain percentage of you who may have your pilot's license and you've wondered what the Lord wants you to do with your gifts and with your ability, you might want to consider this. This may be a divine appointment that the Lord is setting you up. Right now, you had no intention of turning on the radio and hearing this message, and yet the Lord may be putting his finger on some of you right now and saying, you know what? There's a reason why I've got you with a pilot's license. I have something for you to do. So keep that in mind, and we'll give you the information and the website in a minute.
Hey guys, one thing that we want you to know is MAF is a mission organization. It is a nonprofit, and their missionaries that go out need to raise their own funds. So that's one reason we're doing this, is to help them and to make you aware of what's going on out there. And of course, you can imagine the prayer support they're going to need. Okay, they need to be prayed for. They are going to Africa, where all the rest of us say, Lord, we'll do anything but go to Africa. Okay, so I really want you to consider to going to maf.org/woodsum, WOODSUM, checking out their page, looking at their picture, getting to know them. Sign up to be a prayer partner. I'm asking you to do that first, okay? And then I want you to pray over that part where financially you can give a one-time gift, you can sign up for a monthly gift. Nothing is too small, and it's you investing into God's kingdom. So I want you to know that they don't get paid to go do this. Missionaries have to raise their own support, okay? So can you imagine all the people everywhere in the world that are out there doing this mission work? They're already making great sacrifices. And it's because of people like, you know, you guys that have heard this and want to get behind it, because you don't want to go to Africa, but you're very happy to help support someone that's willing to. So, Annalise, I want to hear what you're going to be doing there, because we talked about this at lunch a little bit. And it may sound like it may not be quite as glorious, but it almost is going to be a harder job for you, isn't it?
Mm-hmm. Oh, it's going to be an adventure, Linda. So I like to say Corey is the captain. It's a single pilot plane. But I'll be the first officer at home.
Got it.
And I think that the homemaking job is an important one. And I'm excited for the opportunity to get to provide a home and hospitality, getting to know, you know, all the women in the village and the other wives that will be there. So in our village, we don't have a Target. I don't, in Nyankunde. There's not a Costco and there's no Starbucks. So if you there's not even a laundromat. So if you want something done, you have to kind of do it from scratch. So I really like the process of slowing down, because when you slow down, then you make time for relationships.
Yeah.
Amen.
And my personality is more of a doer and a manager. And so I would tend to go in and just find a need and fill the need and look for something to do. But as I've been in this preparation process, I think the Lord has really called me for the first term, at least the first couple of years, to go and be a proactive observer and learner.
Mm-hmm.
I think there's a lot of richness in the African community that we could learn about doing community together, mm-hmm. About even the way that somebody from a different culture reads the scriptures can really enrich our own personal faith.
Amen.
And once I take that, you know, observation period, and then I could listen and hear from the Lord for how he would want me to get involved. So MAF doesn't require wives to do a specific amount of service for the organization. So I could do 40 hours a week with, if I wanted, working with MAF. I could do 40 hours a week working with another outside organization or the hospital that's right next door. A lot of wives get involved in that. And our next door neighbor is a heart for community agricultural development. And so I'm sure she would love help weeding and whatever uh-huh. she's doing. So anything I can do to serve is my heart.
Well, from my understanding of missionary terminology, that would be called immersion. You're being immersed into the society, into the culture, and the community. And that brings up another question, Annalise. As far as your home, your base, does MAF have like a military base kind of thing where you all stay together, huddle in a base, or you spread out in the village? What's the housing like?
It's different in every city. For us in East DRC, there's a big, long grass runway. And at the end of the runway, there's a hangar and there are a few houses lined up in an L shape. And that's right there on the edge of town. So we'll be right there in the village with everyone else. But Corey's commute will be walking from the house to the airstrip, which would be 200 yards.
Okay, yeah. So the airstrip isn't too far away from the village. But yeah. You will be living off the airstrip, but close, right next to the village.
In town, yes.
Okay.
The airstrip kind of runs through town.
Very good. And it sounds like you're going to be busy for, you know, I've, as a mission pastor, I remember we helped out Russian missionaries and others in even, they're not third world countries, but even in Russia, we had missionaries who, if the wives wanted to go shopping for the week, I don't even know if they did it for a whole week. You know, it took them all day. That
yes.
you couldn't get everything in one stop. Like you say, there's not a Target and a Costco and all that. You had to walk over there and stand in a long line for the bread. Then you had to go over here and hope there's meat available at this market. And some countries, meat is a rarity that you may not even find it. Well, by the way, what is the typical diet that you're looking forward to in the Congo?
Well, I'm looking forward to it being more of a tropical diet since it's on the equator. So a lot of your bananas and mangoes, avocados, and, you know, it's going to be really delicious and varied. And I think there's a butcher, so we will have meat. But a part of having to slow down and take that much time just doing daily chores is that you get to build relationships with each individual vendor and with all the ladies that are shopping there with you. And so I'm really looking forward to a rich, deep relationship.
Right. And, you know, we call that friendship evangelism. And I think friendship evangelism is one of the best kind of evangelism. Because, you know, I mean, I take a team door to door. We do things like that. And it's like, you know, I'm a stranger knocking on their door. Who are you and what do you want? I don't want any. And sometimes they slam the door on me.
Oh.
But, you know, when you have somebody who knows you, who's been watching your life, and they know you're there to do good. They know that you're making a sacrifice to live among them, and they know that you could live a whole lot better life if you stayed in America. that really carries a lot of weight, and it makes a difference. That it gives you the right to be heard, that they're actually going to listen to you.
Okay, we only have a couple minutes left. Corey, is there something else you want to add that we have not said yet?
Yeah, absolutely. This is what I really like about this is that everybody is involved. Everybody's important in this process. It's not just us going to Africa, but it's everybody, because we can't do this alone, and we can't do this without our people praying for us. And because we're going to meet so many different challenges, we have a lot to learn and a lot going forward to overcome. And so we want you to know that anybody that partners with us in this ministry, you are vitally important, and you are part of this ministry.
Mm-hmm. Okay, I want to remind you guys again, the website is www.maf.org, and it's /Woodsum, their last name, and it's spelled Woodsum, Woodsum. By the way, I'm looking at this site, and on the site, you could learn a lot about MAF. It's not just all about them. It's kind of integrated so that you could learn about their vision, their calling, where they're going, as well as other missionaries, and just what MAF is all about. And you learn a little bit about the Congo. So you could do your homework there and just kind of look it up. You know, I do have another question before we run out of time here. You know, you're going to be moving there. I know that when we had lunch together, Annalise, you told me you want to raise your family there, have children. And I'm wondering what kinds of dangers, what kinds of perils might you face there that you wouldn't have to deal with here in the United States? Are there things that maybe trouble or challenge you as far as dangers?
Yeah, I guess in Africa, everything's trying to kill you. So I won't be swimming in any lakes or anything like that.
So parasites in the water, alligators. Yeah, sure. I mean, Congo, what kinds of wildlife is there?
Well, anything you would expect to see in Africa as well.
Oh, okay.
Some of the things, we'll definitely be filtering our water, boiling water, bleaching fruit, that kind of stuff. They do have malaria there, so we'll be taking certain things to help with that as well.
So you just can't drink the water, huh?
No.
You could, but I don't recommend it.
Yeah, you know what? And from my experience in mission work, again, I know that some of the locals, they drink the water. That's the only choice they have. They don't carry bottled water around like us Americans do, you know?
Yeah, and that's why there's ministries out there to dig wells and try and provide clean water, because it's hard to get sometimes.
So what about, okay, if you have a family and you start raising kids and all that kind of stuff, what kind of, are there hospitals, are there doctors, or does MAF supply that kind of thing for you?
There's actually a hospital that is right next door to us, and MAF will help get us to where we need to go. And we partner with over 600 organizations around the world. So
okay, so hospitals that you would have great confidence in?
Absolutely.
Oh, really?
Yes. Yeah.
I had a missionary friend that we supported who were in the Ukraine, and the wife went to the hospital and ended up, from the doctors using bad or unclean utensils, she ended up contracting a venereal disease from the doctors using... You know, so I don't necessarily feel great confidence with some of these other countries and their hospitals, because that could even happen in America.
You know, some of
the kinds of medical attention. Mm-hmm. So what are your concerns? I'm thinking about all the scary things that people don't want to go to Africa. What are your concerns? Do you have some fears or concerns in where you're going?
I don't really. I've been to Africa before. I've already had malaria. There's lots of stuff.
Been there, done that?
Yeah, a little bit. Not everything. There's still lots more to do and done that. But not a whole lot of concerns or fears at this point. But we're excited what God's doing and to be a part of it.
Yeah, you agree, same thing,
Annalise? I'd agree too.
All right, well, good timing, because I hear our music. That means our time is up. And folks, remember, www.maf.org/Woodsum, and you can learn more about MAF or maybe even support by prayer or financial support the Woodsum family. Lord bless you guys. Thanks for listening. Our time is up. We'll see you tomorrow.
Thanks for having us.
Thank you.
If you'd like to know more about Calvary Chapel of Eagle, just go to the website at cceagle.org. Be sure and join Pastor Mike every Saturday at 8 p.m. and on Sundays at 8 a.m. for his radio show, It's All About Jesus. If we ran out of time and you didn't get a chance to call in, you can send your questions to lookup at ccEagle.org. And may the Lord richly bless you as you continue to look up to Jesus.
Look full in His wonderful face. I want to grow dim standing next to You.